Welcome, 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 Tilted Podcast, episode 2. It is me, Icky. I return with my main man right here.
Zero.
Hey. What's up, dude? How you been?
I've been all right. How about you? You settling in?
I'm settling in. I am rocking out, and I'm ready to do this. We got episode 2 here. First one went a little bit rocky. We got it all sorted out, so won't be noticing as many fuck-ups, hopefully.
Yeah, and also, this one's also going to be kind of weird. So the third one is probably going to be the most solid. We have to announce that we're going to start recording on Monday nights. That way we can be up to date on the events that happened over the past weekend. And we're not going to be behind like we will going into our first segment here, talking about final round from, what is that, like a week and a half?
Well, it's going to be exactly a week ago yesterday. That was when it took place. So we're not too far behind. I'm sure there's people that don't pay like hella close attention, you know?
Yeah. But even then, it's already a week ago. Most people have talked about final round and everything happened there. So we're just going to start off with that so we can kind of get it out the way and then pretty much be fresh.
It's definitely the most recent thing that happened. But, I mean, if you want to just go over the results really quick. I mean, the first one that should be no surprise to nobody, Punk taking Street Fighter V. Now, in my opinion, he used to steamroll everyone, and I don't really understand why he stopped. I think it was more of a mental thing for him, but seeing him actually, you know, take first over Momochi, who actually used Zeku, mm-hmm. and is proving a lot of things with like Zeku players have been saying, like, oh yeah, Zeku's fucking great. Zeku's actually good. It just takes more work, and you know, Momochi actually proving it, taking him that far.
To go on to what you're saying about Punk losing, or I guess not steamrolling people anymore, it all goes back to when Tokido broke him.
He broke him at Evo. He like shattered his ego.
Yes. Yeah. He entirely he punked Punk with Akuma.
Punked. Yeah.
And I think it made Punk cry.
There's a few reasons why he cried, but yeah, basically.
Yeah.
He got downloaded really, you know, that was Evo and he got downloaded. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he hadn't been the same since. And not until very recently have we seen him playing with confidence. It's kind of a funny, I don't know, it's a lot like with boxing. Sometimes you'll see newer boxers and they haven't really been hit before. And they might do really well, but sometimes they'll get hit and they'll get hit really good. And it totally messes with their entire psychology on you know, the fight.
Yeah. You can kind of say that's sort of a Ronda Rousey thing. You know, she thought was the biggest, baddest, and then she gets kicked in the fucking face. And now she's very humbled wrestling, you know. So goes to show you. But other than SF5. Some other names we should maybe mention. CJ Truth, been around for a long time. You know, Oil King. What's up?
Another thing I just want to touch on before we leave the finals and go into the other places. One thing that we saw with Street Fighter V, Punk versus Momochi, was a lot of footsies, which is something that apparently doesn't exist in Street Fighter.
Oh yeah, you know what? He really proved that if you whiff punish things with Karin's crouch forward, it'll lead you to so much, you know, and that's textbook footsies, you know, whiff punishing normals at those max ranges, those perfectly understood, you know, ranges. And he really showed it, you know, crouch forward, you know, convert into whatever and get all his damage like that, all from whiff punishing. You know, it was pretty cool to see, you know, and because people are going to start complaining that Karin's like OP, but it's like, no, he's played that character the whole time. You know what I mean?
And all of his spacing and footsies, Momochi too, both of them were just completely on point. You couldn't make a mistake because you would take damage on either side.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of FS, you know, if you whiff a high and you get crouch dash launched. You know, just for whiffing a jab,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? You get, like, half-life punish. It's pretty, like, overwhelming. But, you know, it's a good thing for the person on offense. You know, they definitely deserve that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Street Fighter V has the same kind of footsies as games of old that we're used to, but it was refreshing and pretty cool and kind of hype to see that kind of play instead of the stuff that we're used to seeing out of Street Fighter V.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that's just going on more and more as the game gets older. You know, you said this kind of play can't be done, but they're making it work. You know, especially Punk and all these guys grinding CPT. You know, they put in so much time, they can play that sort of solid way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely know their game by this point.
By hopefully, it's been what, 3 years now?
Yeah, it's been 3 years, a rough 3 years for that game.
Oh yeah, and then it's still getting rough. But yes, let's round it out a little bit. You know, we had Oil King with Rashid, Brian F, of course, is a boxer player, Xian with Ibuki, Tampa Bison, of course, Bison, MOV, which is surprising. I think he plays Chun-Li, I can't remember. You have JB, Gamer B, and Shine all in the top eight. And then the surprising names you see not up there, you know, Itazan, Jay Wong, Smug and Sako, Nemo, Knuckle Doo, you know, 801 Strider, Cool Kid. These are all people that are usually considered hella strong in SF5, yeah. But, you know, they're out of top eight. So there's a lot of competition at final round. If you look at all these names, this is a lot of fucking competition right here to make it past.
Yeah, that's it's funny to me because a lot of these names are people that in their own region's tournaments would be placing first place. For instance, seeing Xian take seventh, that's pretty crazy, but I think that might just be because people are starting to catch on to Ibuki and the fact that she was so strong all of last year, it seemed. Any kind of winning play or just like crazy stuff you were seeing was coming from Ibuki players, and for Xian to come out seventh is kind of crazy because you wouldn't expect that from a character that was so strong last
year. Yeah, she used to be pardon the pun, but explosive, you know, with all the bomb setups and
the shuriken. Like
that. And the shurikens, yeah.
Shurikens are a problem.
So maybe that's due to the nerf she's had, but you know, it's still pretty crazy looking top 16 when you look at those names. That's like, wow, that's almost like an Evo, a little baby Evo.
It is. It
a lot is. Of international it, names.
Itabashi Zangief is there.
Yeah, well, Itazan goes to everything, man. Itazan is crazy.
He kind of does go to everything.
He does. But move on to Tekken 7 a little bit. You know, I personally didn't watch the end of Tekken 7, but you know, we've all heard of the crazy fucking poke chop crew chance, the no round brown dance. Mm-hmm. And he only made it in the top four. You know, we had Shadow 20s and Trungi at the top two, you know, first, second place, and Joey Fury right at third. But yeah, poke chop made it top four. Like, it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, you don't see that very often. He gets out and he definitely competes, but he always seems to kind of fall in that maybe top eight area, that kind of fuzzy,
or like, yeah, trouble breaking through to that to that like tier sometimes.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble thinking about anything having to do with Pokechop because of some recent drama that went down with him losing against an Akuma player and get super upset about it. I'm not sure if you've seen that on Twitter.
I personally haven't seen it, but, you know, Pokechop, him getting mad at something is just like, you probably did it to yourself, man.
that's what the general consensus is.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever, but I'm happy to see him get where he got. You know, mm-hmm. Tekken 7 was pretty cool. Now we're going to move on to something a lot more of us, or both of us, know a little bit more about, is Soul Calibur 6. And what went down in Soul Calibur 6 Grand Finals with a character that we would both have said this whole time, like, it's trash.
Yeah.
I mean, you main Astaroth. What do you think of Lolo winning with Astaroth?
Well, no, I thought Lolo won with Yoshimitsu.
Oh, Lolo's Yoshi, but I'm talking about Club.
Klopp's Astaroth is, I don't know how to put it. It's
or getting that far. Yeah. What do you think of Klopp getting that far with Astaroth? My bad.
He is. It's more of a testament to the player and less of Astaroth. Absolutely. Klopp is kind of this relentless, almost one-track minded kind of player. So what'll happen is, and what you'll see if you go back or if you watch the final round, he's going to bull rush you forever, and he's going to try to throw you forever. And it's not a matter of like, of if he's going to do something, it's a matter of when you're going to hit that. Yeah. Because that's just what he does. And it's a combination of that and just really smart. I don't want to say reads, but like understanding of his opponent. And that's what brought him so far, is he's just a really smart player and he's able to take what little Astaroth has and make it work a lot. You know, you're going to break some throws, but you're not going to break all the throws, and you're going to block some of the bull rushes, but you're not going to block all the bull rushes.
No, definitely not. And I think the reason why I thought he won is because when I originally watched it, he was in winner's side for like a long time, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's probably where I got confused on it. But yeah, I was just tripping out that he actually got that far with something, with a character that people keep saying is trash. Kind of reminds me of the Jeffrey comparison in Final Showdown. But then again, we see a Jeffrey team make it to the finals in the last team tournament that happened in Japan. So, you know, go figure.
To add to that, though, I've watched Klopp play at a few other tournaments. NLBC, he plays first. He beat out, I think, Linkors or whatever. This was a few months back. I've run into him a couple times online myself, and he's just really smart. He knows when to crouch throw. He knows when to try to regular throw, and he knows when to bull rush. And he does it all of the time. He just keeps doing it. I try to emulate this when I play sometimes, and I get really discouraged because I feel like every time I guess wrong, but Klopp just keeps at it, and he keeps at it all the time.
It's almost that stubborn persistence that kind of grinds the opponent down. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep doing this shit, and I'm going to keep doing it until you think I'm not going to do it, and then I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, it's almost like he's like a king of the no-mix-up-mix-up.
No-mix-up-mix-up-king.
Not that, but it feels like it, especially when you're watching. You can turn around and look away from the screen. You look back, and oh, he's trying to throw him again, and that just goes on for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. And you know, and also shout outs to Lolo, rapping. I'm pretty sure he's from Mexico, so yes, you know, shout outs, homie. And then I think we also wanted to mention he also took Soul Calibur 5 last year, correct?
Not last year. The last
Soul time Calibur. It was at Final Round, which is 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was 2017. I tried to watch that video after watching the end of Final Round, and I couldn't sit through it. The Soul Calibur 5 is boring,
dude. Yeah, it wasn't super fun. I only entered maybe two tournaments for it, and yeah, it wasn't that great.
Yeah, at a high level, nobody wants to move because you get run countered for 8-way running and all kinds of stuff.
It's using a system mechanic that's kind of there for you to use. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
Guard impacts, cost meter, etc., etc., etc. It's
yeah. But anyways, Soul Calibur 6 is cool. Let's move on a little bit. Dragon Ball FighterZ. No surprise to me, Goichi, Kazunoko, Dagara, and Hook Gang are in the top four. The only surprise there is Sonic Fox at a fifth place tie. That, to me, is a little weird because I'm used to just seeing him, you know, steamroll everyone too, you know?
Mm-hmm. That could also be indicative of the fact that his mental and physical time is now kind of split because
you're right.
MK11's on the horizon.
Very right.
So I'm pretty sure he's been streaming more MK and has been playing more MK recently.
That's so his true. Mind
might not be completely devoted to Dragon Ball.
No, now that you mention that, that's completely makes sense. You know, MK's coming out. He's probably diving deep into that. Doesn't necessarily have time to focus on a game that he probably won't play as much anymore.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah.
We might not even see him not enter as many. If there's going to be more MK11 tournaments, yeah, I definitely don't see him doing more Dragon Ball FighterZ. Who knows?
Yeah, he could come back to it, I think, after MK11 stopped being so fresh. But because he's definitely the type of player that could probably place top 8 in almost any game available. But I could definitely see him spending a lot more of his resources, his personal resources, just learning MK11, because we just came out of a closed beta, as we talked about last stream, and then they're about to go into a pre-order closed beta, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, in a little bit. Anyways, Blaze Blue Cross Tag, we have Flux, Scrot Vermilion, Elyon, Dante Thomas, Bojack in the top 4. And then all these other people, I hate to sound like lame, but I don't even know who they are. Yeah, I don't follow anime, you know, crazy close.
I don't even know. It's less, I follow a little bit of anime, but I don't follow Cross Tag Battle at all. So I couldn't tell you what's going on there. Like, for the most part, most of the guys in this list, with the exception of, I believe, Flux, I have not seen in a Guilty Gear tournament, or at least the, you know, top 8 in Guilty Gear or other anime games.
Yeah, same. But shout outs to Flux, Marvel guy, taking it. And then let's move on. Guilty Gear Exit Rev 2. We have Ghastly, Hime Cut, Scrublord, Zega, Coach, who I believe is an Atlanta local, and Ray MK, Omega Tom Hanks, Blue Gaze, and Icy Mitsu. Again, a lot of players I don't know, exception of Coach.
I know, yeah. Omega Tom Hanks, that's it.
Well, shout out to Coach to getting top 4. That's pretty dope. Yeah. Marvel Infinite, we have Tayson, who used to play a lot of Marvel 3, so it's cool that he is still playing. You know, he actually stuck with Marvel and went on to Infinite. Not Enough Damage, Ninja Nam, Escalante, who I believe also played Marvel 3. Ketsui, Chris G, Healy, and Chewy. Let's move on to DOA 6. So this one is one of the first tournaments, or at least big tournaments, you want to say, for DOA 6.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of cool that at least Final Round had something. You know, most people are just shying away from DOA 6 altogether. They're just saying, like, no, don't want it. You know? Well,
it's funny. It's definitely not on the forefront of people's minds at this point in time. Even though the game just came out, now that we've had like MK11 and some changes to Soul Calibur 6 and Street Fighter 5 still doing what it does, somehow I think I really do think that it was fucked out of Evo. It's kind of hurting for it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's something that we really need to, I don't mean like we, but in general, everyone needs to, if you like DOA, try to set up something, you know. If there's going to be no tournament, set it up, because people are just going to keep shying away from it. And from the time I put into it, it's definitely not, I mean, there's still jiggle, but it's not the focus, especially because all the costumes now are so, you know, conservative. You don't even really notice that shit unless you pick the alternate costumes anyway. So yeah, but
my point or my takeaway of it though is, when for what I've played of it, it feels a lot like DOA 5. So I think that I don't think that there's enough to bring new people in if they didn't like DOA 5. For instance, if I wasn't,
there's definitely not.
So I'm not going to go out of my way to play more DOA 6 because I didn't want more of it, you know. So I think that could also be a part of it, not getting the kind of attention that it might deserve.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible because there really isn't anything new. I mean, the break blow system, it's like, it's just a generic 3D game super that all the 3D games have been getting, in my opinion. You know, I really hope for when VF6 does finally come out, it doesn't have anything like that. Like, please don't do anything like that.
I don't think it will.
But yeah.
Yeah, let's not. Let's not get into that dark timeline.
But yeah, we have Crazy Steady first place, Blackberry second, K Killy DeLorean in third, and Excalibur Blades, who has been playing DOA for like ever. He got top four, you know, pretty cool. Hoodless and Sonic Fox tie for fifth, and Mr. Quiggle, who I believe is Sonic Fox's brother, right below him in seventh. And then everyone else here, personally don't recognize, but shout outs to all of them. Injustice 2, I'm surprised people are still fucking playing it.
I'm not, because as much as MK and Injustice kind of share or pull from one another, it still kind of has this strange almost divide in it, in their own in NRS like fan base. So there are some, there's a small percentage of the fan base that won't play the next MK. They're just waiting for the next Injustice and vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I personally, like, if I were to be one of those people, I would have really ever touched Injustice 2, because I never have. But I would rather play MKX. You know, I don't like DC anyway, so
yeah,
I am one of those people. But
difference between block button and back.
Yeah, dude, like, whatever. But we got Tagio in first, Kiltron, I believe he's also played a lot of normal MK, Misfit Panda, Rusupial, Ronald Rogan, I mean, cool name, man, Bruce Ryusei, Fatal, and Splash. And you move on to Pokken Tournament. So unfortunately, I haven't been keeping up on Pokken at all.
I'm surprised
people are still playing it too.
Keep it alive. If you love your game, just keep playing.
Yeah, I mean, they're keeping it alive. At least the net code for Pokken is not like utter trash. You can play it on Wi-Fi and be okay.
It exists on the Switch, right? I assume.
Well, yeah, it's a Switch exclusive. Pokken Tournament, the first one, not DX, came out on Wii U, but you know, no one plays Wii U, so
dead console.
Yeah. But you know, thanks a lot, Raikel or Bro, top three winners right there. Let's move it on to Smash Ultimate. Now, I did watch this last one. I can only really comment on the final with Anti and Salt 1. Okay. Yeah, it was a pretty, pretty cool finish for Anti. You know, this dude, at the time of this recording, he hadn't won a Smash U tournament yet. He got second here at Final Round. But I think as of like last week, there was a tournament in Colombia, I think, and he actually won first place there. So shout out to Anti.
Yeah.
Actually got his first place win, Smash U, just wasn't on American soil, unfortunately.
Hey, your win's a win, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you take it, right? But I think he was using Lucario. So shout out to all the furries. your sex lord has won. Or
yeah,
got top character. Two.
Could perform at a winning capacity, because there's a lot of characters in that game, and
I feel like I've only
really seen like a handful, but again, I haven't really watched a ton of Ultimate, so I could be wrong.
I mean, swords still rule. You know, it's Smash. The swords are always gonna be good. They always have range. They're always strong. Like. So it is boiled down to that. That's basically what it was. I forgot at the moment what character it was, but it was a sword versus a Pokemon. So, you know, it just goes to show you swords are still good, and they'll always be good in Smash.
Yeah.
Anyways, just moving on. There's really not a whole bunch more. They had Brawlhalla. We have Sandstorm. I mean, I don't know shit about Brawlhalla. Sandstorm, Broomie, and Wilson, top three. They had Alpha 2. Yeah. Jay Wong taking it, Vic Viper, who is a CBS2 player, Flash G, the other guys don't really know too much. They had Third Strike, Nobuo taking first, Vanuatu taking second, Jay Wong in third, Chris G in fourth, Dr. B strike first. Dr. B, shout out to Dr. B. He actually wanted to play Justin in CBS2 that weekend, but I don't know. I think Justin was making the option select to get out of it. And shout out to Cobra Kai Tone. They are technically my sponsors for Defend the North. So shout out to those dudes.
When is that again?
That's not until July.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Yeah, we're going to have to definitely get you to get some on the road footage of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then moving on to Super Turbo, Justin Wong took Super Turbo, Flash G in second, Icy Mitsu in third, Dr. B in fifth, you know, Zagra MK in fourth, Vic Viper again in fifth, and Painbot, Dream Station. And that's pretty much it as far as like what we can at least comment on for final round. I mean, hopefully next year is better. I heard that this year they really fixed a lot of the issues that they had at the last one, where people were waiting forever or getting DQ'd or all that shit. So yeah, yeah, shout out to the staff.
This one seemed to run better than last year, but it also, from my perspective of watching it, still kind of felt not up to par with some of the other larger tournament events that we're used to.
I mean, just from a spectator's point, it looked more like a 2010 ballroom yeah. kind of tournament, which is fine with yeah. me. Like, that's what I'm used to, but I can see how other people would think that.
Mm-hmm. You just need some polish, really. I think they'll get it together.
They'll get it together. So let's move on to our next topic here. Fighting EX Layer. The update comes out literally, I think, within an hour of this recording right now. It's going to bring in Terry and Sharon as DLC characters. And I think it's going to update some system mechanics, but I personally don't know what they are right now. I don't think they've actually posted any of the changes in like some sort of list. I can't find them if they're out there. Hopefully we can put them in our YouTube description. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you've seen the Terry trailer, he looks fucking sick. He's fleshed out. He's got the power wave. He's got the power knuckle.
Burn knuckle.
Power Geyser is a super. You can juggle off of it. It's pretty sick. And he still a Fexal character. So he has chains, supers canceling the supers, just everything Fexal has. But you know, you get Terry. Like,
yeah. In all of his like 1,000 moves, there's also the crack shoot.
Crack shoot is kick, yeah.
Tackle and Buster Wolf. Seen that. There's a bunch of videos you guys gotta, if you get a chance, check out their YouTube channel. They've posted a few matches with Sharon and Terry. Speaking of Sharon,
yeah,
she's gonna be free. Terry will be $5. Sharon's looking cool though. She's got a six shot revolver. She still has her spinning back knuckle Rekkas.
Oh yeah.
I personally don't like her design, her visual design, as much as her old game. But then as much as the old game, but at the same time, it still looks good. It's a good design. It's just very Western-y.
Yeah, it looks great to me. It's kind of like, as you said, Western-y. The same thing happened with Jack. You know, he went from the bouncer look to a straight-up cowboy. Like, it's cool to me. I don't mind.
Yeah, but Sharon's also looking pretty good. Through the videos of watching her game plan seems more like a hit and run type thing. She doesn't seem to do a lot of damage, but I did see some situations in which she can fire off all six rounds if she wants to, and that does good damage.
Yeah, I saw that. She kind of goes pew 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 and all of them going on the screen, and they can actually link in the super from like full screen, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, she's gonna be pretty fucking fun, and like I said, within an hour that's we're gonna actually get that patch. So you know, as soon as we're done, I'm going to download and probably stream some of it if it's not too laggy. I mean, it's pretty much what we got. At least Sharon's free.
Yes, Sharon's free. So when that comes, and that'll be good. You guys can go ahead and tune in or stick around, and Icky will definitely be streaming that.
Oh, I also have to mention, if anyone's watching right now on YouTube, and this is within the last like week or so, it's only $20 on Steam right now. So if you have Steam and you want to get the PC version, it's only $20. Just gotta throw that out there.
Totally buy it. It's a cool game. Even if you play it for like a week or two, it's only $20.
Yeah, it's really fun, and then you know, just try it out. It's $20.
Definitely need the support, because it's really like, I if I'm not mistaken, it's like a team of sub 20 people making.
Oh, it's got to be like 10 people tops.
And they're doing it only because they want to. This isn't like they're making money or whatever.
They just wanted to make a fighting game again.
Yes.
Self-published.
But it does.
Yep. Anyways, let's move on. We got Mortal Kombat 11 new characters announced. My boy, Kotal Kahn, is back. Yes.
Yeah. and my girl, Jackie Briggs.
Your girl, Jackie Briggs, she's back too.
I wasn't super hype about MK11 before today, before this week. And even in the last game, Jackie Briggs left a lot to be desired. Her game plan was really all over the place. Like, none of her variations seemed to really do much together with one another. Not that you'd use them together, but like, they were all wildly different, and none of them seemed to have enough focus by themselves. But the new Jackie Briggs, she's rocking the Muay Thai, and you got all kinds of... I kind of want to call her Josie Irving in this game.
Josie Irving, okay.
Yeah, because she's rocking. She has the she's got Josie's Josie's step. She can step kick and then spin, and then she also has some clinches and all kinds of really cool Muay Thai stuff that I want to see out of a character. Also, she's a combo heavy character, which is something that we haven't really seen a lot of out of the recent Mortal Kombat trailers. It's been more, you know, footsie based.
Yeah, I mean, she looks cool. I like the redesign. The armor, you know, to me, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, before she had armor anyway, so it's not like they changed anything about her. You know what I mean?
I don't really care about the character much.
No, and I do agree. The Muay Thai kicks, they look cool, you know. Yeah. I want to see her. And then for Kotal, you know, he does some changes too. Mostly that weird cat thing. I don't know if that's going to be its own variation.
Oh, he's an animal.
Cool. He's an Animorph, dude. He's gonna have his own book cover any time now, so we'll wait and see. He's actually gonna have the Animorphs with the embossed chrome cover, the special ones, you know what I mean? Yeah. But we had Kotal, we got Aaron Black, looking a little bit different, but you know, still the same shooting style.
Mm-hmm.
Melina as well, I believe.
Melina, really?
I think so. I think she's coming.
Oh, I must have missed that one. Because I know, naturally, I know about Jade and everything. But most recently, the only characters we've seen were Jackie, Kotal, they showed off Shang Tsung, but non-gameplay.
Non-gameplay, but I wish I could find that picture, but Shang Tsung, it looks like they modeled him after, like, Mr. Miyagi. But just gave him like the white mustache and the long beard.
The thing about that is they got the voice actor from the Mortal Kombat movie. I can't remember the dude's name off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but I remember his face vividly.
Yeah, he's the voice, and I think they were kind of going for his current face because he's a lot older.
He's definitely got to be in his 60s or 50s by now.
Yeah, but that's cool. I mean, they showed off that, and the game's gonna have a crypt with a K. Like it did in MKX, right?
Whichever MKX, one. Yeah, the crypt. The collection crypt.
Yeah, the jump scares. Ugh.
Oh, the little spider things, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. that's cool. Also, so in the builds that they showed off over the last week, they have made adjustments to the dashes for some of the characters.
Okay.
Last time we talked about it, I mentioned that during the closed beta, I played a little bit, and you may as well not use the dash. Dash was worse than walking. And with that said, they do want walking to be strong. They want the game to be really based around, the gameplay to be based around footsies. They're going back to kind of Mortal Kombat 2. With that said, certain characters, like I saw Sub-Zero, they sped up his dash. So it's a proper step now. So you can use it to kind of, lack of a better word, shimmy.
Yeah.
And you couldn't really do that before. If you wanted to do such a thing, you would just walk in and out. Which is kind of strange because the original design is kind of like, well, don't put a dash in the game then.
As you said it last time, it's like if it was really a negative penalty to be dashing, why did you even take the time to animate dash frames and animation and all this shit, right? So. Yeah. Obviously, that's something they'd had to adjust, and it looks like from, you know, these latest builds, they're fixing it. And then we get the next beta in 3 days, I think.
Yeah, and it's relegated to people who have pre-ordered. So if you want to get into that, man, you guys got to pre-order.
You got to pre-order. Oh, here's some secret tech. You guys ready for the secret pre-order tech? If you want to get that beta code and you do not want to buy the game, go on Amazon, pre-order the game, wait about 24 hours. They will send you the beta code, and it's like a 12-digit code, right? You go on your PSN account, and then you register the code. You claim it, right? And mm-hmm. once that's to account, you just go back into your Amazon and cancel the order.
Yo.
Easy peasy. That's the secret Discord tech. You heard it here first. Tilted Podcast, episode 2. Do it right now.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to be part of the closed beta now. I'm not sure what characters. I know that there's going to be more, or three different characters for that one. I can't remember off the top of my head who. I know that Jade is one of them.
Either way, like, we're getting a beta. We'll get some hands-on time. It'll be dope.
There's going to be more, I think they're going to include more modes in that beta, because one of the issues with MK11's last beta was that there was no way to kind of try your character out, so you just kept jumping into ranked matches and getting blown up until you learned the game, old school style.
Yeah.
I think this one might have a training of some sort. What they really should do is they should just put you in training mode and make it so that rank pulls you from.
Yeah,
it.
Just like most games do now. Fexel does it. SF does it. Tekken kind of does it. So yeah.
Soul Calibur.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah. But yeah. What before we move on, what were your thoughts on what you saw about Kotal? Because you played him pretty extensively in the last game.
He still has some of the same moves. He has the disc, which sucked, but supposedly that's way better now. The disc projectile. To be honest, I don't have a whole lot to say other than the disc speed up and that new cat shit. I'm just interested to see if he still is grappler-ish. That's the kind of variation I played on him more, was the I believe it's Sun God. And you level up your grapples and shit like that. So I don't know.
I didn't see a lot of the leveling up of grapples. I saw that there was something he can do to level himself up, but
he still has the statues, I believe, the little totems. Yeah. So
yeah,
we'll see later. You know, other than that, I'm hypey's there.
And, also, one thing I did notice about him, he did more damage than any other character I saw next to Baraka, which is we haven't seen a lot in this game.
Maybe he hits hard. Maybe that's just a side thing from, you know, just being an early build. Who knows?
Oh, and I don't know how both of us missed it. Noob Saibot.
Noob Saibot. Yeah, he was one of the ones released or revealed in like the past week, I think, like a couple days.
Yeah, it was last couple days. The character's looking cool. I was really disappointed that I didn't get to play him in Mortal Kombat 10, as was a lot of people, or MKX, I'm sorry. But I'm feeling more. I think I'm just gonna be doing more Cabal Jackie. I was looking forward to Noob, and he looks super cool, but he doesn't seem like he's my style of play in this game. Also, he's got that goofy Dr. Claw voice from the Gadget Show.
Oh yeah, Mad Cat.
Yeah, and I'm not feeling that either. But it's still a cool character. They've also shown off a trailer that came out today. Today, yeah, I think it's today, that also showed Jax, Kung Lao, and
Liu Kang.
Liu Kang. Yeah, that's a pretty cool trailer. You guys should check it out. I'm also a Jax player from the last game. But I don't like his face in this new game. I don't know why they changed his face completely. He does not look like Jax. He just looks like Black Dude now. But
well.
Yeah. It is what it is. The character's probably still going to be fun and cool. I'll probably try him out.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. So let's move on to something I'm personally not looking forward to at all.
No one is looking
forward to Soul Calibur 6. Oh, God.
That's tomorrow, guys. Today's the 26th when we're recording this. So by the time you'll be able to get this on, Google Podcast or Podbean. No, Podbean should be pretty much immediate, right? Anyway, by the time you're listening to this, Amy's going to be out there ruining people's days. They did release another patch alongside the patch for Amy, and it came out last night to today. And there's been a lot more changes for all the characters. There's patch notes. We'll try to provide those if we can. But if not, you can go to Bandai Namco, I think the EU site, and there's a PDF to look at all the changes. I don't know if you've looked at them yet, Icky, but I read them last night, and I'm not happy. They're as an Astaroth player, they gave all kinds of characters new things. Soul Charge Zasalamel now has a full screen projectile that curses you if you get hit with it or on block. It doesn't matter. So you
it's
have
full
to
screen.
It's full screen, and it's a big projectile too. So Astaroth probably won't be able to step it very well. it gives a curse on hit or block. So if everybody doesn't play Soul Calibur, his mechanic is each curse. There, he has a couple of attacks or a few moves that when those strings end, they end in a time stop. And the more curses you have, the harder it stops you. So, they gave new lethal hit to Geralt. They rebuffed, what's his name? Oswald's axe, his low axe thing. What else did they do? So they buff Grow even more, which they don't need to do. Stop buffing Grow. He's already too strong, if you ask me. But for some reason, Japan thinks that he's the weakest character, and I don't understand. More buffs for Ivy. A whole bunch of buffs for Mitsurugi. If he's not the best character after this patch, I don't understand what the game is supposed to be about.
Well, that's good for me. It's all Ivy and Mitsurugi buffs. Like, shit, I'll have to check it out.
Mitsu's ridiculous now. Check out those notes. And what else? Oh, they gave Siegfried back his flapjack ring out because they took that one away, and every Siegfried player cried, even though three of them use it to ring out.
Yeah.
And, so he got that back, and he got a bunch of buffs. And Astaroth got some buffs, but they're not really buffs. They adjusted his hitbox so that he has an easier time sidestepping things, which thankfully is enough, because as Astaroth you get hit by all kinds of verticals while sidestepping. But there was a major system change that is a huge nerf to Astaroth.
And so this is what you're gonna call the sus shit.
Yeah, man, all you guys that don't like people who grab or Astaroth players in general, rejoice. They've added up to 9 frames of amount of time to break a throw across the whole cast. So it doesn't apply to Calamity Symphony. She gets her own throw break window, which is smaller than any of Astaroth's. Everything else, and from what I'm reading in my own in the Astaroth Discord that I'm in, everyone's breaking throws now, because you have like 17 frames to break a throw, and they changed it so that when you're in a throw state, the game gives you a visual cue when it's time to break a throw because the camera zooms in for throws.
Interesting.
Now. Yeah.
So I didn't know about this change. Now that you mentioned that, that is going to be a huge nerf to Astaroth, like you said. Mm-hmm. That's kind of reminds me of the FS throw changes too, you know, the fact that all throws got limited in directions and the timing to break them was increased. That makes throwing an FS like, you know, like why would I do that, you know? So that's kind of disappointing to hear, but I'll wait and see, right?
But the thing, the saving grace in a way, or at least something that makes that a little bit easier on the heart for me in FS is that throw breaks in FS, like Tekken, are dynamic. So you can break a throw and still be at, like, you know, disadvantage by being side turned, or you can break a throw and end up out of the ring. In Soul Calibur, all throw breaks just push back. They don't have any kind of dynamic animation. The only benefits that Astaroth gets is a plus 8 frames. Or I guess he has an advantage of 8 frames if you break any of his command throws. But that's it. So, yeah. Logan.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow what that brings. So let's move it up.
Power right now.
Rangers time. It's Morphin time, bitch.
Yes.
It is Morphin time. It's coming out tomorrow on which systems did you say it's coming out? Xbox?
Xbox 360. What am I doing?
360,
Xbox One. Xbone.
Get, and Switch.
Get the release tomorrow. So y'all need to go out and pre-order the game now, please. This game is cool.
And then you said April 2nd?
April 2nd for
PS4. April 2nd?
Their verification or what an authorization or approval process. Yeah, so next week, PS4, tomorrow for Xbone and Switch. And PC players are just going to have to wait. They're saying sometime in the summer.
Yeah, that's a huge bummer. But I'm sure it's for optimization because there's like thousands of combinations of hardware out there as opposed to standardized consoles, right? So
yeah,
my logical brain is thinking that it's taking forever to optimize.
Oh, yeah, because the game's going to have to run on multiple different kind of loadouts or builds, and that can be a problem. As anybody who owns an Android phone knows, like,
oh yeah,
sometimes like your apps just don't work nearly as well.
Certain games won't even boot. I remember Pokemon Go wouldn't work correctly on my first phone I tried it on. It just wasn't good enough, you know. It couldn't even do AR mode, but eventually it got patched.
Yep. There's more information though. The game's going to have 9 characters for launch. I'm trying to quickly bring that up.
I got the characters right here. We have Jason Lee Scott, Tommy Oliver, Gia Morgan, Ranger Slayer, Magna Defender, Cat Manx, Mastodon Sentry, Goldar, and Lord Drakkon. So Jason Lee Scott, the reason why they're calling them by their actual names is because you can't call it Red Ranger because there's like 3 Red Rangers, you know what I mean? There's going to be multiple blues and multiple blacks and multiple, you know, reds, so they have to call them by the character's canon names.
Mm-hmm. Along with that, the game's going to have casual matches, ranked matches, no lobbies to start with. Sorry, guys. I believe there is going to be an arcade mode, training, and
a tutorial.
And a tutorial.
Yes.
Three different Zords for your comeback mechanic.
Yeah, they have the standard Dino Megazord, which is the one everyone knows and everyone loves. And then they have Dragon Zord, which is Green Ranger's big dragon. And then Mega Goldar, which is when Rita like throws the staff into the ground and the monsters get all big and shit. So it's pretty cool. And 5 stages, like you said, 120 collectible banners, which I'm assuming is titles.
Yes, they're going to be the titles.
Like, yeah, ranked mode titles, right? And then there's some collector's edition launch content, which includes the digital download of the game. Season 1 pass includes 3 new characters and a new skin. Mm-hmm. Lord Drakkon Evo 2 skin, I'm not sure what that is, and a Pink Ranger skin. And this is more to announce in the future shortly.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the game gets gets a lot of support, especially monetarily, so they can keep putting out characters. Because, as you know, it's a 3v3, right?
Yeah.
And when you have a tag battle game, you need a bigger roster.
Yeah, there's gonna be less combinations of teams to try out with only 9 characters to start. And then they did mention there's going to be 3 within season 1, so that'll boost it up to 12. But that's still like really, really small for a versus style fighting game.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention the stuff that it's pulling from. You know, it's pulling from all the Americanized Super Sentai stuff, all the Power Rangers things. There's a ton of characters, so hopefully they just get the backing monetarily to keep pumping out more characters. And I know that despite the fact that there's only 9 characters to start, each of those characters is a separate archetype. So they all play differently, which is really good start. You know, we got Clockwork, Shady K, J- Justin Wong and a little bit of Yipes in there tuning the game to make it play like they want a versus a successor to play.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, those guys gave them enough feedback to really get that Marvel style back. It definitely looks more Marvel-y than Infinite. Let's just say that.
Yeah, well, we'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll see, right? So anyways, so for this next one, I'm not sure if you wanted to skip that.
Oh yeah, I did. I can touch on it for a second. There was no, I think, I don't, but I feel like maybe we talked about it. No, because Final Round was going on while we were casting or something. But there was no, whatever you want to call it, no announcement for anything Street Fighter V Final Round.
Yeah, definitely nothing announced at all. And everyone was expecting, oh, this is going to be something. And we have a nice humorous video of Mena RD.
Anxiously. For like those post-credit models. For those
post-credits trailers, and he's just looking like Ralph on The Simpsons when Lisa tells him she doesn't like him.
Yeah, he's, and it's just, it's kind of sad, but you know, that's the state of that whole thing. Capcom is killing it everywhere but fighting games.
Yeah, killing it everywhere but their fighting game division, and it's a sad thing to see, but it's all good. But this is something we have to mention. There's no announcements. NCR is coming up, and we'll see about that then.
Yeah.
But here's something crazy that none of us really like expected to happen before the reveal. Google coming out with a console, the Google Stadia.
Yep, and you know, console is the easiest way to talk about it. And I'm sorry if you guys hear a car alarm, but my neighborhood's stupid.
Yeah.
It's not exactly a console. It's a service. So
that's what we'll call it.
Use what's it called? PlayStation. What was it? PlayStation Now, or use Shadow. You're familiar with, or even just game sharing on PlayStation. You're familiar with the idea of having a centralized unit that's running the game, and the people who are interacting with it are basically watching a video feed of the thing that they're playing.
Yeah, like it's taking input, registering the input on the host device, and then the host device kind of cranks all that shit in a video stream to that player, and they get to interact with it, but at a really low, in my opinion, a low bit rate or really high latency. So streaming, as far as my experience is using that stuff, like On Live, if you guys can remember On Live, that was one of the first streaming game services, and it worked okay for 2011?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was forever ago. And since then, nothing else has really interested in me in trying out something like that. This being Google, though, I'm still not fond of streaming and not owning the hardware or not owning the software. But this is a good thing for people that are either casual game players or maybe low-income game players, that they can get these AAA, you know, crazy graphic experiences, but with no hardware whatsoever. They just need the controller and a browser of some sort, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. It's exciting. Well, first off, I believe that On Live was bought by Sony. So that's where the PlayStation Now tech comes from. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's the case. Either way, the interesting part about Stadia being a Google thing is that they have data centers and nodes everywhere. So the amount of latency reduction they can offer everyone is probably a lot better than most any other company could, minus like, I don't know, Amazon or something.
Yeah, I think only those two big conglomerates would be the only people to really pull that off, is like Amazon, Google. And if Tesla wanted to waste money to do it, they'd probably be able to do it, right? They have the money to build a server farm to remote play high-definition games. So, I mean, it's a cool thing. I mean, if you want to look at what they're touting here really quick, I mean, they're touting a lot for just being able to stream it. you know, they're talking about like up to what, 4K resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
They're pushing out all these teraflops. I think it said something about 10 teraflops. But you have to realize it's not pushing it out on...
You're watching a video stream.
Yeah, you're watching a video of a computer that can put out this crazy image, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't really own it.
That's which brings us to the next point of why it's less for us.
It's not for gamers, right?
Yeah, well, not... I'm sorry, it's for gamers, but it's not for people who want to play a lot of competitive things.
Especially. Oh, definitely not. Imagine playing a fighting game. This can already be done, now that I think about it. On PS Now, you can actually play Virtua Fighter 5, Final Showdown, and Street Fighter 4, Ultra Street Fighter 4, through PS Now. And if you guys want to try it out, just go get the trial if you've never done it, and just try out how laggy it is to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
Through streaming. That's the perfect way to test it out.
And Google is touting close to like native console latency. And from the videos I've watched, especially things I've watched in Digital Foundry, they have succeeded in coming close to that or whatever. But the thing about that is that we... who play fighting games can feel that immediately. You guys have all run into situations where you've gone from your Asus monitor and you've gone to some friend's house and you've played on their Samsung, like, you know, 55-inch television.
Yeah,
and
a lot of lag.
Everything doesn't work. So it remains to be seen whether or not they can cut the latency down into a level that's... Hell, when Street Fighter V first came out, there was over 8 frames of lag, and that was a problem of input.
Oh, yeah, it's still a problem to me.
Yeah, and it's still, what are they down to?
It's now? About 6 or 6 something like that.
It still feels mushy. For me, Dead or Alive 6, Dead or Alive 6 is at 8 frames. It's a mushy game to me.
Yeah. That's the way new games are going.
I read or I watched an interesting thing on Digital Foundry again today. And then speaking about some proprietary technologies that allow, and this is weird and I can't exactly explain it, but it allows the game, quote unquote, to, the best way I can put it is it allows it to kind of anticipate what button you're going to press next to reduce the latency.
Yeah, which works in linear games, but does not work in a fighting game. There's no way you can necessarily predict the button that's going to be pressed, unless it's in a combo or something like that. So, oh well, we'll see. That's later half of 2019. We're going to see more of the Stadia. But let's move it on up to Samurai Showdown 6. We got a lot of new footage. A lot of characters actually shown off now.
It has a month.
So much to go through with like little time, but I mean, if I want to play this trailer right here, just by looking at it, the game looks beautiful compared to the first time they showed it. What, at Evo, last Evo, right?
Yes, last Evo was a quick teaser. In fact, the newest trailer that released today really just showcases special moves.
Yeah. Showcase a lot of supers and a lot of counters and how they look and what can be done with it.
Yeah, you can head over to Maximilian. His YouTube, he was given some time with the game, so he's got like a 13-minute or so video about it. Gamatsu, their YouTube channel has 44 minutes of play of the game, but it's nothing. They're just kind of playing against the CPU. But yeah, the gameplay for me, from what I've seen, you might as well call this Samurai Showdown 7 because it's 2+5.
And it is technically the 7th game if you want to count it. If you're not going to count Sen, which was like the 3D spinoff that happened after Samurai Showdown 64. And there was a Samurai Showdown 6. A lot of people forget, but it was on the Atomos Wave, and it was basically the equivalent of a Hyper Anniversary Edition for Street Fighter 2. So it like let you choose all like the different styles of the different characters from the different games, and it was just like a hodgepodge, patched together kind of game. So that's why people really forget about six.
Showdown Mugen.
Basically, yes, and it was on the Atomos Wave, I'm pretty sure, and no one really liked it. No one really played it.
That's why they still play five.
Yeah, Five Special is still getting played on Fightcade and PS4. You still get matches on PS4. Granted, they're like South American players, so the connections are always laggy, but you can still find people.
Yeah, let me quickly go through the list of characters we've seen in the new trailer, or the characters that I guess we have video confirmation of.
Yeah.
I got Yukio, Genjiro, which is one of my mains, Haomaru, Temtem, Galford, Charlotte, Jubei, Nokoruru, Earthquake, Shiki's back, and
Shiki's back.
she hasn't been in any games except for the handheld games and the 3D game.
And
Oh, sorry,
Battle
SNK.
Coliseum, I think.
She was in Battle Coliseum and SNK versus Capcom. Chaos or whatever the
Chaos,
hell.
SVC Chaos, yeah.
Chaos. So Shiki, Yoshitora Tokugawa, the guy with like three nodachis. Kyoshiro, and that's all we've seen so far. So I don't think I've seen any footage or any pictures of not Galford, Hanzo. He seems to be missing.
Yeah, Hanzo's not there, but if Galford's there, I think it's a guaranteed thing that we'll get Hanzo because they're just palette swaps, and I personally think they'll do the same thing. Just take the 3D model, give him a ninja head instead of a blonde guy's head, and then you're gonna get your Hanzo, and then change some of the moves, yeah.
I think that from what I can see with the graphical fidelity and the kind of love that they're putting into the design of this game, that if we do get Hanzo, he's going to be a little bit different. I don't think that they're going to put just a head on him.
Well, I don't mean that in a literal sense. Like they're gonna literally just
Yeah,
swap the
I know.
head, but yeah, I think they already have the rigging for a ninja like that with Galford. So they're gonna take that rig and just build Hanzo around it.
Yeah, either way, Hanzo will be great when he shows up.
If he shows up, but I think he will. I think that's a given.
I think it's more of a when, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a when, not an if. But I'm hyped for Samsho. Like you said, it's gonna be 2.5. Or 2 plus 5 equals 7, right? So I'm down for it. It looks a little bit more heavy hitting, if that's the right word. The hits are
Yeah.
gonna hurt, that's for
It
sure.
that's where it takes from, in my opinion, it takes from Soul. Samurai Shodown 2,
Yeah, when the
because
counters hurt, they fucking hurt.
they hurt. But the thing about it is, it doesn't have any of that old school slowdown, and it seems like, strangely enough, because I'm always leery of this whenever a 3D game is made into a 2D plane, the physics are correct. Just like Flex, Fexel, and even Street Fighter V to some degree. The game play and the movement is fluid. They don't float unnecessarily. The jump arcs aren't weird. Everything looks proper. But the things that they've taken from the later games are, I think they've got the dodge now. There's a universal overhead. Throws are as they've always been, where you put the character kind of like off kilter so you can combo them. There is a disarm attack. Then they have the rage stuff where you have a super move, or you can put yourself into an Isin state and do big damage in one swing.
Yeah, either way, like all those mechanics and all these characters announced so far, I'm hype. So we won't see that for a while, but
Until June. They
until
give it.
June, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so let's talk about Sony State of Play.
Yeah, so this is pretty quick. They decided to go because everyone should know at this point they're not going to be at E3.
Yeah, they're not gonna be participating in that game anymore. I think most companies now have seen the point that E3 doesn't really do anything for you anymore. It's not the 90s.
They're just
The
throwing money.
internet alone, kind of just spreads the info that you needed to get out there in the 90s that you had to do at an expo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so Sony is doing what Nintendo does, and they're doing a Sony Direct. It's called the State of Play. Today was the first one. It's I think the whole event was maybe a total of about 15 minutes. You can catch it on YouTube, but they've also cut up all of the trailers and released them as separate trailers. So if you don't want to watch the whole thing, you can just go to their YouTube channel and look at any trailer you want to. VR was a big focus, which
basically all they showed is all VR shit.
Like 5 or 6 VR games.
It's a lot.
Or non-VR games. And there was a little bit of MK11 at the end. That's where we saw Jax and Kung Lao and Liu Kang, where we talked about. There was some more Days Gone footage, but sadly, it seemed to be that case of like, all the stuff that you showed at the stuff that you showed at E3 a couple of years ago was more compelling than what you're showing now.
Yeah, like everything in this state of play, in my opinion, is shit we already knew about, except for the VR games, which I hate to sound negative, but like still, I don't think really people give a fuck about VR. Like, there's too much to get into.
As someone who owns PlayStation VR, I highly recommend it. I think it's super, super, super cool.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I'm not knocking its coolness for sure.
Yeah, it's not going to hold up a console though.
No, not by itself, and they shouldn't have focused a whole bunch on it. I mean, yeah, I would have liked to seen
a VR segment where like they just showed
maybe a new game announcement, something, maybe more info on the Medieval remaster that's happening.
Anything. Really.
I don't know if I'm speaking for all the gamers out there, but I don't think really anyone gives a fuck about Days Gone. Like,
well, that's the problem with
it didn't look that cool the first time you announced it. Like, get why you're pushing it.
I thought the original announcement was cool, but part of the problem there is that we already have Last of Us.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm going to say, is that having another post-apocalyptic zombie game being like a first-party thing, it's like, which am I going to play? I'm going to play Flavor A or Flavor B? And I don't know, it just never seemed that interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's already
3 years since they initially showed it. Like, I think everyone doesn't care anymore.
No one ever talks about it. Yeah,
and no one talks about it. No one says, "Oh, I can't wait for Days Gone." I mean,
so the cool thing about that to me though is that there's always a chance for this game to come out and be like really interesting. Dope.
Yeah. Especially.
Like God of War. Remember when the God of War remaster was coming? People were just kind of like, "Do we really need more God of War? This is like the
8th game." And then they totally flipped it on us, and it was not a God of War game for the most part.
Yeah. So they need to. The Days Gone team. So long as they've got something really cool going on there, it'll be great and it'll surprise people. But if not, then people are going to get the same kind of pessimistic thing that they're assuming is going to come out, and they're not going to care.
Yeah.
There's a VR Iron Man game, so you get to play as Iron Man in VR.
Yeah, that'd actually be kind of cool, kind of neat.
I think there was also a VR mode that's being added to some game.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky's getting VR in Beyond, and those guys, they had a, like Street Fighter, they had a really rough start, but they've been adding to their game regularly. So if you can find the game cheap, I'd say you can get it, because all of those updates, I believe, are free, and they really pad out to make a game pretty decent. The funny thing about this trailer, though, that they showed, is aside from the VR stuff, the trailer they showed, if I'm not mistaken, looked exactly like the initial trailer that they showed for the game before it was released. Basically meaning that they're getting
the catching up
stuff that they said that the game was originally going to have. And then lastly, outside of like Mortal Kombat, there was there's a new Five Nights at Freddy's coming, and it's I'm not going to play that because I'm a bitch, but you know, if you're Five Nights fans, it's on the way, and it's gonna have VR capabilities, which whatever, jump scares all day.
Seems cool, and state of play is something we got to look forward to now every couple months, I'm sure. So that's pretty dope. So let's talk about some upcoming tourneys. Now, we have NorCal Regionals, which I believe is actually happening like within a week or two.
Yeah, it's this upcoming weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's a week. So right now it's Monday.
4 days.
It'll be happening on Saturday, which is I can't even see my dates. the 30th.
Yeah, it technically starts on the 29th.
Yeah, 29th. It starts Friday afternoon, I'm sure. That's when you start playing pools.
Yeah, and that's in San Jose. So any of you guys are up there, you know, at least go check it out. Go hang out. There's going to be
fun. See if you can get a spectator pass, because the early bird reg is long gone. And I'm pretty sure you can still register right now, but it's always more expensive the closer you get.
Mm-hmm.
Always, always.
And it's being sponsored by Victrix. I'm not sure if you guys have seen that stick, but if I had the disposable income, I would buy one. It's
a nice looking stick, but I've seen some of their sponsored players not using that stick, so it just tells me, like, why aren't you using that $300 stick that was given to you to use for free?
That's weird to me. I don't know. I would use it because
I would think you were sponsored. Right. You're supposed to use it, but I've seen some sponsored Victrix players not using their sponsored Victrix stick. So I'm not going to name names, but let's just say they're SoCal locals.
Yeah. let me go into the main lineup here. We've got Street Fighter V, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Tekken 7, Smash Brothers Ultimate, Soul Calibur 6, Street Fighter 2 X, the Grandmaster Challenge, yep. King of Fighters 14, Under Night in Birth, Windjammers, Pokken, Guilty Gear, Rev 2, BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle, and Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Somehow. They all sound like typical things. The only somewhat surprise is Windjammers, but then again, more and more tournaments are hosting Windjammers.
Really?
Session. Well, I mean, Windjammers has a lot of fans, and people will play it.
Yeah. No, I get it. I just didn't know.
I've been seeing more and more, you know, Windjammers is coming up, and I think Windjammers 2 comes out, like, this year as well. So I think people are just hype. They want to play it.
What's it called? I can totally see it. But at the same time, I would relegate it to more of a Catherine type of a situation, you know, where.
You're right. Yeah, totally.
Game.
Where the FGC kind of just latches onto this game with a competitive mode that isn't something that's necessarily competitive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. But even though Windjammers is competitive, it's just not competitive.
Yeah.
Say that. But either way, that's fun. You guys need to make sure that you make some time to check out NorCal regionals this weekend.
Yeah, check it out, guys. Definitely support your regionals.
Now, funny enough, though, with that list, it brings me to my next point. I didn't see DOA 6 in that list again.
You're right. There was no DOA 6. I wonder why.
I don't know. I haven't been playing it, but now that the free-to-play version's out, you've been playing it quite a bit.
Yeah. I've been playing Core Fighters. It is totally free, 100% free on either system that you're going to try it on, right? Mm-hmm. They did this with the last game where the game was out for a long time, I think like a solid year. And then after that first year, they released a free-to-play Core Fighters edition, which only gave you, I think, the ninjas. You had Kasumi, Ayane, Hitomi, and I want to say either Ryu or the other guy, right? The other ninja dude. And those were the free characters, and they always had two rotating characters, or you could buy a single character for, I think it was $4.99, something like that. It's actually a reasonable model when you look at it that way.
Killer Instinct does that too.
Yeah, something Killer Instinct does, but in a way, they only give you one character, right? I think if you're going to do free-to-play in a fighting game, you need to give the at least four characters out, because you can't force someone to at least try the game and find something they like about it with only one character. You got to have one from each camp. And DOA 6 does this really well, because if you look at their free-to-play roster, you have Kasumi, Hitomi, Diego, and Bass. That's four characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you get one of each sort of style. You get a ninja, you get a karate girl, You get Diego, who's like a brawler, and then you get Bass, who is your grappler, right? Yes. I think that's a good little choice for free, that you get a little bit of everything. It's like the sample plate, right? You get a little bit of everything. You get to try out. Oh, I like Bass. You know, maybe I'll try the other grapplers like Tina and Bayman and all those other dudes. Or if you like Diego, you might like Rig, or you might like Zach, you know? So I think it's a cool thing that they gave you that four. And then the same thing, they have the rotating character. I believe it's two as well that rotate. I can't see or remember anything about the times that they rotate, though.
Yeah, I don't remember what that schedule was.
I think it was 2 weeks or a week in DOA 5 core fighters that they would rotate.
Yeah, it's not a bad, honestly, like the way that Street Fighter V started out, it should have gone with this whole MOBA free-to-play mentality.
Well, the way Street Fighter V is looking with all the fucking ads, I really think that is a possibility, that they are going to move to a core fighters edition. And if they had to, I would think that they would give you Ryu. It's hard to say who's who, but I think they'd give you like Ryu, Zangief, and like two other randoms, maybe Bison and someone else as a free character. That's what I would see.
Yeah.
They give you one of each play style, a Shoto, a grappler, a charge, and something else, you know?
Yeah, and it's not bad. It gives you a little bit of flexibility here because what you play Tina. So you.
Oh, yeah, I bought Tina on the free edition, so I paid $5, and that's all I paid for DOA 6. You know what I mean? Like,
everything I got my else.
Character, that's it.
Yeah, it doesn't lock you out from playing anybody, or playing against anybody.
Just can't do story mode, and you can't do some other things, but you can do training, you can do time attack, you can do arcade mode, surprisingly, in Core Fighters. So there's more there for free than what you got at $60 for fucking SFI, dude.
Only spend $5, you have so much money saved to buy that $93
season pass. I know, the $90 season pass with all those costumes. But hey, if they give me the waifu dress, I'm good. That's all I need.
Exactly. Okay. Well, so the game's been okay right now.
It's cool. And at the moment, I keep hearing Tina is OP. And I had like an 11 or 12 win streak the other night. And maybe that is true. Maybe Tina is OP. But fuck it. I'm going to use it while I can. Before they nerf her.
I know that her her flying peach or whatever her hip shot attack is very strong.
Well, I'm going to abuse the fuck out of it until then. But I'm happy with DOA 6 free edition core fighters, core value fighters. I don't know. I think everyone else listening should try it out. It's totally cool. Free.
Well, then, wonderful. We can move on because I don't have anything to add to DOA.
Fuck it. Catherine Fullbody. Releasing September 3rd, we got the announcement today, and like we mentioned a little bit before, Catherine is a game that the FGC kind of just like latched onto because of its versus mode.
And it's a good game.
It's a good, how do you describe it? It's not necessarily a dating sim. It's a puzzle game.
It's a puzzle horror dating sim.
Yeah, that's the only way you can describe it, because there is the social aspect. When you go to the bar, you got to talk to different people. You have to, there's all types of shit you have to do aside from playing the physical puzzle game, which is like the main, you know, meat and bones.
Mm-hmm. And you can get the original on Steam. So Fullbody isn't even really a sequel.
It's a Super Turbo. It's just an addition. Yeah. They probably add some other stuff in here. Probably
more stages. There's another girl added to the mix of the story mode. But either way, that's going to revitalize its competitive scene, which is really silly. We had to play next to the Catherine players when I was at EVO, or we were at EVO. I was playing Sailor Moon, but the station next to us was Catherine, and those guys are hype. They love their game.
Oh, yeah. And the whole collector's edition here I have on screen actually looks pretty fucking cool. You get a nice little box that has all the cubes that you push around. Mm-hmm. The metal case, the sheep plushie is basically the coolest thing about it. And then you get an art book that's supposedly hardcover, but knowing these editions, it's going to be a little baby ass book, dude. It's going to be like a 5x3 book, some shit like that.
Something about the smaller than the size of a DVD case.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that art book, even though it's hardcover, it's going to be smaller than a DVD or a Blu-ray case, which, you know, it kind of sucks, but whatever. And then a soundtrack. And then the plushie really is all I'm really hype about.
Yeah, with that said, this is an Atlas special edition. So
yeah, you have to pre-order it like right now on their website. Well, you can go through Amazon as well.
Amazon, I'm on Amazon, but I have the special edition or the collector's edition of the original and the collector's edition of Persona 5. And those are high quality special editions. So you're not going to exactly be disappointed. You're not going to end up with like a funky nylon bag or something stupid. You know?
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about the Fallout bag.
Yeah. But okay. You think we can move on?
Yeah. So we got Kill La Kill. This is also something that FGC is probably going to try to make work. Moment, this looks too Naruto-ish for me to really try to see if it would be a serious game. But
that's the base game, yeah.
Yeah, but the animation's beautiful. And now that we have, confirmed 10 characters, 10 or more?
10 characters, and then there's going to be two free DLC characters, one being Mako and the other... Yeah.
Mako the waifu,
the nudist mecha, two guys one mech thing, if you guys watch the show. And then of the 10 characters, two of those characters are the Ryuko and Satsuki dual wielding their weapons, so it's technically a total of 10 characters and then two whatever
double. Yeah, two palette swaps or two variations, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the game will be cool.
Yeah, you know, they're just adding those two sort of things just to say that they have two more characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game's gonna be cool except for that whole wager system. I mean, that's the only thing that's really bugging me.
Yeah, it's the wager system. It's the reversal edge. You know, you just pick a thing and something happens and then one person wins.
Yeah, I've never really been a fan of those sort of things. Or same thing with combo breakers and holds. I don't know. I think you should get damage when you get the hit, basically, when it comes down to it.
No, I agree. I play Astaroth, dude. Like, any other character... launches you, they pretty much get guaranteed damage of their combo if they figured out how to combo, right? But Astaroth, he gets good damage off of a throw, but you can break a throw.
Yeah, I mean, it's still true. I mean, why would you give him an option to break it, right? So, I don't know. Either way, this game looks cool. It's going to have a fleshed out story mode, just like Exerds, I'm sure, which was like pretty fucking cool, you know, the way it was animated.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be for fans of the anime, pick it up. It'll definitely be easy enough to play and fun on its own. For competitive types, it's probably not going to really go anywhere, but we're going to give it a shot.
Yeah, everyone's going to like it, at least for the first week, and then you'll see the bitching start from there. But either way, it looks fucking cool. So let's move on up. Zero, what are you up to recently?
I just moved everything around. Let's leave that for the end.
All right, let's give a little plug to Dropkick Tuesdays. Now, where is actually Dropkick Tuesdays happening now, and what exactly are they running these days?
I don't know. I just kind of wanted to plug Dropkick events in general.
Let me pull up their Twitter here. Let's look it up. Twitter.com. So let's see. I don't have all the info here, so I feel like a scrub, but...
Facebook page also. Their next thing goes down on April 9th at Ultimate Studios in Huntington Beach.
Huntington Beach, California. So I'm going to say or assume that they're going to have SF5, Tekken 7, and maybe Unist. Those three for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Vic, shout out to Vic. That guy is a Unist freak. So I'm going to assume it's going to be those three games. SF5 is the only given that I know for sure.
Yeah, and you can follow them on Twitch at twitch.tv / Dropkick Events.
Dropkick Events, yes.
Yeah, and then on Twitter as twitter.com/dropkickevents. But that's about all I got to say. These guys, they're relatively new to me, to my knowledge out here, but they've kind of really been relentless about making things happen for fighting games.
Yeah, they definitely have a lot of drive. Alex and Eric and Vic, those guys, they do a lot with so little of a team. I think they only have like four people or five people, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So and yeah, shout out to Dropkick. Give them this plug.
Yep. That's about it, though, for that.
All right, so let's move on to something a little bit of a bummer. And yeah. Sega of Japan is halting game sales of Judgment.
Yeah, there's a new kind of Yakuza type game, or at least made by the same studio. And yeah. One of the voice actors who plays a crime boss in the game got arrested for doing coke, or allegedly doing coke.
You know, here's the fucked up thing, and it's Japanese law, but he was arrested on the suspicion of using cocaine. So it's like, what does that even mean? The suspicion, it's like, I thought I saw you snorting a line over there, but I didn't really see you do it. So you just want to come in with us anyway?
Yeah, the thing about that too is Japan doesn't have a jury system. There's just a judge.
Yeah.
And if people don't know this already, Japan's conviction rate is 99.9%. Basically meaning that you're guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you show up in court and they go, why would you be in court? You must be here for a reason. Go to jail.
Yeah. You can't even argue the fact that I'm here to argue, dude. It's like, no, you're here because you know you're guilty.
And then on the persecuted side, you end up having to kind of be like, well, you know what? It's shameful that I even ended up here in the first place. And I'm sorry that people even believed that I was the type of person to end up here, so you might as well take me to jail. It's a stupid system.
Yeah, and you know, supposedly he admitted to using a little bit of coke, and it's just fucked up how their laws are so restrictive on things like that we just ignore in America. You know what I mean?
We have our own weird stuff.
We have our weird things about sexuality and things like that, but in Japan, something like coke, which like every celebrity in America does.
Assumes.
And it's just like you do it in Japan, you like die, you get your fucking fingers chopped off or some shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's fucking crazy.
The thing about that is, okay, yeah, you've got the draconian law against that, but the thing that really gets me is how the media is altered due to the allegation. So for instance, with this particular game, He is having his likeness and voice changed for the Western release.
Yeah, and yet they're still pulling the game in Japan as well. It's not just the Western. They're pulling the game. They're no longer going to sell the build that has him in it. This is kind of like...
It's bizarre.
This is a bad comparison, but it's kind of like when Mike Tyson got that rape conviction in the 90s and Nintendo pulled all the punch-outs. And then they didn't want to renew his license anyway because of money on top of him being, like, a rapist, right? So then they changed him to Mr. Dream in the other revisions of Punch-Out. So similar-ish, just kind of different circumstances, right? You have a likeness, fully scanned, modeled face, voice lines recorded, all that shit. And they were just planning, we're just going to release it in the West like it is, you know? And now they got to change all this shit just for a little bump of coke.
Yeah, and then, you know, this is something that the voice actor, the person is doing to themselves. This is a choice that they've made. They haven't gone out and hurt anybody. And you can argue, you know, the drug business and all of that. But in the end, this is a person ingesting, you know, alcohol or doing cigarettes or whatever. And they're doing it to themselves.
Yeah.
And they're probably doing it outside of work.
Yeah, it's not like he was selling them, but the fact that he did them. It's causing Sega to pull and go through all this effort and lost money. So it's kind of funny in that sense to me is that they're going through the effort. A company who doesn't have a lot of money to begin with to pull physical copies off the shelves, pay money to remodel the face and pay a new voice actor and all this other shit. It's just crazy, man. And I feel bad for this dude.
They've gone
Pierre Taki, Masanori. Pierre Masanori Taki. Feel bad for you, man.
Yeah, he's the voice of the whatever that snowman thing is from the
Frozen. Yeah, Olaf. He's an Olaf in Japan.
Patched him out of they've patched him the character or his voice out of Kingdom Hearts 3.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
Like minor. It's not even a major character, but just because it's
he's
him
in it, yeah, they got to take him out.
And to briefly touch on this, this in contrast, and this is being brought up a lot, but the mangaka or the manga artist that does Rurouni Kenshin was recently caught with piles.
Oh, that's right. He's a pedo. I forgot about that.
And he is now back at work, back at making money. Don't get me wrong. I love Rurouni Kenshin, but I can't condone what the artist has done.
And, it's almost one of those situations where you can't separate the art from the artist. And something like that, I can't. Drugs, sure. He wasn't selling the drugs, right? He was just using it.
He was just using it. And then so this artist, he got off with a $9,000 fine. That was it. They didn't pull his work. They didn't do nothing.
Yeah, they didn't burn his books. You know what I mean?
Up a bunch of names or something. He did some informant shit, but it's really weird because that's a thing where real people are essentially they're hurt. You know, these little girls who knows what fucking circumstances.
Yeah, who knows what he was watching? Girls or boys? It's still disgusting either way.
Yeah.
And how they treat that kind of crime. Anyways, this is depressing. So let's move on to something a little bit more lighthearted. Cuphead coming to the Switch. Let me bring out my Switch so I can game while we podcast. I fucking love the Switch, you guys. Like, I fucking love the Switch. And now that we're getting Cuphead on the Switch, like, that you can just play anywhere. And the fact that you can just play it and your homie comes over and you just hand him the Joy-Con to join in. Like, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, Switch is great. I sadly have not been able to afford one yet, but I might be able to because they are looking to bring out two more models, or at least it's rumored that they're
going to. Yes, rumored two new models coming, I think, later this year, I think.
Yeah. There has been long talk about hardware refresh, but Nintendo's known to do that, as they have with the Nintendo 3DS and the Nintendo DSs and whatever. But there might be a Switch Lite and a Switch Pro coming, which would, one, make the price of the OG Switch probably drop a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Switch Lite probably might have a low introductory price. And the Pro, who knows? The Pro might get the new 3DS bonuses, like a better processor.
I'm sure if there is a Switch Pro, there will be a better processor. There will be. I'm pretty sure it'll be bigger because of that. Mm-hmm. What else? The Switch Lite is the thing I'm more interested in because when the Switch first came out, I was like, damn, that's like just a little bit too big. Like, I wish it was like an inch or two smaller around certain sizes, right? Yeah. So I'm really interested to see what that is and if it's not just light as in light price point. I mean, either way, we're getting Cuphead and, you know, a Switch price drop. That's good news coming, you know? And, of course, MK is coming to Switch. I'm really interested to see MK on the Switch.
Yeah. Going back to what you're saying about the size, one thing they could do is, with the advances in technology over the last couple of years, all they need to do is shrink the bezels. They can keep the screen the same size.
Yeah, if you want to look at this, if you guys want to look really quick, there is a huge plastic bezel around the Switch screen. Like, if they were to shrink that down to one of those fancy phone type LCDs where there is no bezel, they could definitely shrink it down.
It would be much smaller.
Yeah.
And then, if you guys didn't already know, Nintendo and Microsoft have been working together to, I don't even know, cross-release games, get cross-play to happen. I know that they recently stomped out rumors that the Microsoft SDK was going to be able to be used on Nintendo devices, but that could change. It's just really cool to see that kind of thing. And I think part of it is in reaction to just how anti-consumer Sony's been recently, and they're trying to capitalize on that.
It could be very well that situation or that sort of thing going on.
Master Chief and Smash.
Oh yeah, put Master Chief and Smash. Master Chef.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's move it on to Persona 5 The Royale.
Yeah, so this is real quick. Just like Persona 4 Golden, Persona 5 is getting a re-release, and it's going to have a new, I believe, female character added to the mix, probably a new female pro tag.
Yeah.
I would assume that there's going to be a couple changes left and right and some expansions to the Persona lore. I have the special edition of Persona 5, but I have yet to open it and play it. So
yeah, I haven't touched a Persona game since like Persona 2, the PSP version. And that's one thing I wanted to bring up too, is that Persona games always get revisions. Every single one has had a revision so far. Persona 1 got a revision on PSP. Persona 2 got a revision on PSP. Persona 3 got a revision on PSP, I'm pretty sure. And then 4 had a revision on PS4 and the Vita.
Yeah, it was the 3 FES and 4 Golden. I forgot. Okay.
Yeah, so all of them had revisions, and I saw this coming from a mile away. But it's pretty cool for Persona fans. I mean, I'm really out of the loop on this one, but I've heard 5 is nothing but awesome.
Yeah, the games are pretty cool. Personally, I prefer Shin Megami Tensei, that timeline.
Yeah.
But Persona 5 and all the Persona games, starting at 3, have been solid games. I need to go back and just sit down and get my JRPG on.
Same here. Like, I've been slacking on JRPGs for like the last 10 plus years. I just feel like I'm too old now. Like, the only ones I want to go back and play are old games like Grandia. Like, I'm actually really hyped for Grandia 1 HD. And that's coming out supposedly this year, too.
Speaking of old games, Vampire the Masquerade, Bloodlines.
Ooh, that's right. Vampire the Masquerade. Getting a sequel, finally.
15 years, so...
15 years.
They gotta bring it. Because if they don't bring it, everyone's going to be disappointed. This is just basically going to be Duke Nukem Forever all over again without the hype that, you know, of the 10 years of waiting for whatever, Duke Nukem.
Yeah. But,
I think they can do it. I don't know. The first game was cool. I was 15 years less than I am now, so I was literally like 20 years old.
You were like the perfect demographic for like gothic vampires and Hot Topic, parachute pants.
I was just coming out of that.
Yeah, so you were like right there.
Yeah, and well, one of the reasons that I didn't exactly get capitalized on that, because I believe it was a PC game, and I have always been less of a PC gamer than anything.
Yeah, and it was only PC. It was on the the Source engine. Out of all the things, like, that first Vampire game ran on Source, so it was basically Half-Life.
Yeah, and it gave birth to basically gave birth to the redesign of Harlequin as we know her now, but 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of true. I noticed the redesign one does kind of look like that. I forgot her name. But yeah, they look very similar.
Too long. Yeah. But that's the thing I wanted to bring up. So we've got things. There's a lot of video game stuff going on this year that's not fighting games. And there's a lot going on for fighting games. So
yeah. It's okay. Gaming and game. I just have to point out that the chick in this trailer looks a lot like Christina Hendricks, and I am down for that.
Is what's up. Yeah, she does.
She Holy does crap. Look a lot like Ms. Hendricks.
That's a good reference model.
Oh, yeah. I will definitely be playing that game on mute. Anyways, moving on. Zero, what are you up to, my man? So what's been going down before we get out of here?
I haven't been super up to much. I'm trying to force myself. I've been watching a lot more Virtua Fighter media, and you'll probably be able to talk more on that.
Oh, yeah. But
I recently watched the Toshinsai tournament. That had a lot of different games. That was cool. I've been trying to play more Virtua Fighter, but I need to get another, like, a more comfortable setup, because right now the PlayStation 3 is in the living room and I need an Xbox also, so I have the option to play both, and I need an Xbox stick. So whatever. I want to play more Virtua Fighter. I'm not. Recently, the Messenger, which was a Switch game based off of kind of like Ninja Gaiden type gameplay, came out on PlayStation 4 last Tuesday, and I picked it up. And the game is sweet. I'm halfway through it now, and I just got to the cool thing that happens. And that game is cool. I expect to have beaten the game by the end of this coming week before Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But that's really about it. It's just been a lot of Messenger. I stream that on my channel, twitch.tv/0lovesdnb.
Yes, and definitely check that out.
Yeah, please subscribe. Come hang out. I play all kinds of random stuff, mostly fighting games, a lot of Tekken recently because Julie is back. But as far as non-fighting games, I haven't picked up Sekiro yet. I've been meaning to buy that. It's a good game. And I've been meaning to start Resident Evil 2.
I've
But right now, it's The Messenger because it's got me hooked, and I can probably just play all the way through it.
Sweet, sweet. It does look pretty cool, I gotta admit.
What are you up to? What's your deal?
So, other than, of course, VF, gotta start training for Defend the North. That's in July, so I'm taking Vanessa a little bit more seriously now. Shout-outs to Valakree. I've been playing a lot of her the past couple days, so she's a crazy good player. So it's going to whip my Vanessa into shape, if that makes any sense. Basically, hyperbolic time chamber when you play against Val. So that's good for Vanessa. And other than that, streaming the retro, I'm going to probably be holding back on NES streams because I found out my NES does not put out composite and HDMI signal at the same time. It's kind of a bummer. So I'm either going to have to get a RGB board and install it in the NES or sell it and get a NES modified one altogether. And same thing, going to be streaming more Sega Genesis shit. I might speedrun Streets of Rage because I know the little infinite. So that's basically the speed tech you need in that game is the infinite. And I don't know, just look forward to more retro streams or streams in general. I'm also designing a lot of fucking shirts. Like, if you guys want to
check out the merch, guys.
The merch is, if you're watching on Twitch right now, it's below us. You can see, I think, 4 of the shirts on there. So there's more coming. So other than that, that's really it.
Okay.
Yeah. We're waiting for Power Rangers tomorrow and Flex as soon as we get off.
Yeah. Flex and Power Rangers. And by the way, this podcast will be available, should generally be available 24 hours after we've recorded it here on Google Podcasts. I've submitted the first episode to iTunes, but they still haven't approved it, and it's been like a week now, so I don't know what happens on their end. On Google Play, you'll be able to find it there. You can also find us on Podbean. You can also catch us here or watch the VOD if it's available. And I'm going to work on being able to kick out a spruced up visual archive of this onto YouTube, which we'll probably host on Icky's YouTube page. But it's going to take me a second to kind of like get the format worked out. So those won't be released in time or in the proper amount of time until I can like sort it out. Then we'll just kind of, I'll shotgun out the first few, and then they'll start coming up the day after or 2 days after we record.
They're going to come out just a little trickle after that.
Yeah. But
at least the audio version, I'm going to try to get out tonight at some point, just chop and upload. So that's on Podbean for sure and SoundCloud for sure right now. Spotify, not yet, unfortunately. But we're trying to work on that.
Yes. SoundCloud, I'm sorry. You can always go to www.soundcloud.com/ I believe it's Tilted FGC.
Yes, or it's Tilted FGC. No. I'm pretty sure.
I'm sorry. I think it might be Tilted Podcast. Let me double check.
All right. One last thing to throw in there before we get out of here. If you guys are interested in the DC HDMI mod, the PCBs for that, there's only 55 left in the round 4 pre-order, which ships in April. And you guys know April's only like 2 weeks away or a week away. So if you want HDMI output for your Dreamcast, the results don't lie. If you want to check out NYC Furby's stream, he streams tons of recently recent tournaments with the Dreamcast HDMI board in there. So definitely get one from dansprojects.com. There's only 55 left, and I just had to throw that out there.
Yeah, I got to buy one myself whenever I can get the money to do so. SoundCloud.com, Tilted Podcast, is the first place. That and Podbean are the first two places we're going to be hosted. Following that will be Google Play, and then iTunes whenever they think we're cool enough. Also, I will have to make a slight admission here. The SoundCloud is going to play double duty because I've retooled that. I used to be my own SoundCloud where I hosted some drone bass mixes. So right now it's going to host our podcast as well as the RSS for that podcast. That way we can host it in other places. But I will probably put up a set, a drone bass set, or even a different type of music set every once and again once I get my whole situation sorted out. But you can follow us there, please, to catch what's going on here, and especially if you couldn't tune in tonight when we do record it. And that's going to be Monday nights, right?
Yeah, Mondays. Mondizzle.
Okay. Mondays. But yeah, that's all I got. I got to go to work in like 15 minutes anyway.
All right, I'm getting out of here. I got to eat some pizza and get ready for Fexels. So you guys too, stay up, and thank you guys for tuning in.
Sorry, Tilted Podcast, TiltedFGC at gmail.com. Please write us or leave a message, you know, on Twitter for Icky or I, or a message on SoundCloud or anywhere you can find us. And we'll be glad to devote a little bit of our podcast to answering some questions or going into detail of any kind of subject that you guys want to talk about. Right now, it's mostly just stuff that we've pulled from the week, but we'd like to have a lot more, fan interaction.
Yeah, interaction's the right word.
Yeah, so we want to bring you guys in on this.
Sounds good to me. So like I said, I'm going to eat that pizza, play that Fexel. You guys do the same, and you peace out.
Yeah, later, guys.
Laters.